Good morning and greetings to all of you. It's been an inspiration to be here and worship with you. I have thoroughly enjoyed the service thus far this morning. And I would have enjoyed just coming and sneaking in the back door and listening to one of your brethren preach. I thought about doing that since we had plans to be in the area. But I also remembered that I had an appointment assignment here last fall that I missed out on. And I know how much I like when other ministers come in our doors and share with us. And so earlier this week I thought, well, I'll be a man and I'll just call Brother Dave and let him know I'm coming and offer to preach this morning. So that's why we're here. I feel right at home with you, and it's been a blessing to worship together this morning so far. We're reminded that we are but men. The light of the world is Jesus. And if there's any darkness in us, it's because we lack some of the light. That song brought that out this morning. Jesus is here for each one of us, and he wants to light our lives. But I thought about that throughout the devotions this morning, Brother Dave's devotions, the devotions, Sunday school devotions, through the Sunday school lesson of how we are so human, and we're so prone to leave the God we love and journey a path in the things that we enjoy. And so this morning, I'd like to think, you may open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to look at one verse this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, a very familiar verse, goes like this. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We often talk about the first part of this verse, the following peace, and especially at council services and communion time, we hear much about being at peace one with another and having peace in the brotherhood. This morning, I don't want to talk about that as much as I want to talk about having holiness. Holiness of life. Now, this verse does say, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so I guess we could ask the question, can we follow peace with all men without holiness? I think the two are linked together and do go hand in hand. I'd like to ask the question this morning, is holiness important? In fact, that's the title I've given to this message, just in question form. Is holiness important? We live in a very permissive age. To many people in our world, in our communities, nothing really matters. They do as they please and live life like they enjoy it and like they please. And I guess in many ways, somehow they think in the end it's just going to work out somehow. In fact, there was a time like that in the Old Testament where it tells us that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Sometimes I wonder if we aren't seeing a repeat of this in our age, where people are doing that which is right in our own in their own eyes, where many people leave God completely out of the picture. But now you and I would say this morning, well, we don't do that. We don't leave God out of the picture. We don't just do that which is right in our own eyes, and I trust that is true. But as we go through the message this morning, I want us to just think about our lives and our journey and the way we make decisions and the things that we do. Sometimes I believe it actually comes a little closer home to us than what we would like to admit. And we maybe wander away from this thought of holiness further than what we would like to admit. Now, the context of these verses here, these verses were written to the Hebrew Christians who may have been considering, I believe some of them were considering returning to Judaism, partly maybe because of their immaturity, maybe because they didn't understand, they lacked an understanding of the biblical truth. We saw that in the Sunday school lesson this morning that was brought out. They floundered, they were struggling to understand the teachings of Jesus. And I believe that that is true here, because if we look at the next verse, the Hebrew writer says this in verse 15. He says, looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, he's saying here that it is by the grace of God that you can live the life that I want you to live. It's by the grace of God that we follow peace and we can live a life of holiness. You see, the audience that Paul was speaking to was families who were very familiar, or they were involved with the ceremonial cleansing, the rituals that had prepared them for worship in the Old Testament experience. I'm going back to Old Testament now. They knew they had to be holy and they had to be clean, and they knew how to do that in order to come and be accepted of God, to enter into the temple. They were familiar with that. But I believe here at this point, just like in the Sunday school lesson where Jesus was starting to teach and to bring new things to them, they were floundering, as it were, to understand all that. Now, we know that our carnality, or we could say sin, we know that sin always blocks our vision of God. Our carnality, our own ideas, get in the way of God many times. And if we want to see God, we need to remove those things from our experience, from our eyes. And these verses here imply that without holy living, we cannot expect to even see God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so, yes, the answer to it, in a nutshell, to this question is that holy living is important. And that brings me to the next question. So what is holiness? Well, I'll give you a definition of holiness that you will find in a lot of textbooks and a lot of places. True holiness refers to being set apart from sin. It includes our thoughts, our speech, our attitudes. It means conquering sins of the spirit. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, evil speaking, as well as the sins of the flesh. But I'd like to suggest this morning, it is all that. It is all those things. But I'd like to suggest this morning that it is more than this. And that's the burden of this message this morning. So let's consider in some other avenues or in some other ways or in some ways that make this message practical to us today as we live life in 2024. What is holiness? I have a number of points I'd like to share in the message this morning, about five of them. The first one is that holiness is a response to God, to the grace of God. And I take that, I just read verse 15 to you, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. You see, friends, this morning, when we turn from the things that I just listed, or in other words, when we repent and we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus is what makes us holy and clean. We cannot by any merit of our own cleanse ourselves and make ourselves clean. It takes the work of Jesus in each of our hearts to clean us up. Hebrews, just turn back a few pages in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to read just a few verses. In Hebrews 4, verse 1 and verse 2, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, because why? It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they heard the word, they were taught. And he's saying here that we are the same way. We listen to the preaching, we listen to teaching. We've been brought up in Christian homes, most of us, and been taught from little on up. But until we get to the place where we empty ourselves out and let God fill us and let God move in our hearts, we aren't going to be any different than what they were in their day, because they still doubted, they wondered, they didn't believe. And so this morning, we must believe, and we must let Jesus clean up our hearts. Holiness is a result of Christ's work in the heart. The more we respond to his work of grace in the decisions of life, in the way we live, in all of life, the more we respond to the work of grace in our hearts, the more holy our lives become, let me say, as an expression to others, or as others observe our lives, they see that the work of God is working its work in our hearts, and we express that to those around us. And so holiness is the work of God. It's the grace of God. Secondly, it is a constant awareness of God. So we live earth life, and we go about our duties from day to day, and we make decisions, and yes, we give God a part of our day and think about the things of God, but then we move on into earth life and our work and so on. And it's easy for us sometimes to kind of start letting God in the background as we do that. But I believe this morning that as we are constantly aware that God is present with us, we sang the song this morning that the presence of God is here in this worship service with us. We believe that. And God is with us every moment, every day. He's observing, he's watching. And if we are constantly aware, I believe, of the fact that God is listening and God knows and he sees all that is taking place every day at every moment in our lives, it would help us to express, I believe, more holiness in our thoughts, in our attitudes, to be more careful in our motives, our speech and our actions. Those things would be different, I believe, than what they are sometimes. But you see, again, this is also tied back to the fact that this is a result of really what is in our hearts. Proverbs 4 and verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That verse to me speaks of a growing experience. And yes, we know that holiness is something that doesn't just happen in our lives and is all of a sudden we're holy. Yes, we accept Christ and we're washed up and we are holy. But holiness is something that continues to need attention and continues to grow. Progressive, I believe it is. Don't misunderstand me. We never obtain to perfection. We never will in this life. Thirdly, this morning, as we think and we ponder this question of what is holiness, I believe the path of holiness is made plain by the Word of God. As we take the Word of God and as we study the Word of God, like we did this morning already, we read the verse in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is a lamp. It sheds light. It makes the darkest things that we can see through and that we can find our way. Probably all of us had the experience sometime of traveling a rugged, stony path in the dark and felt almost fearful. And then maybe the next day you traveled that same path in the light, and it was an enjoyable experience to be there. It's so different. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I had somewhat a similar experience. We were in Honduras, and we were away one evening visiting and enjoyed our visit, and it got quite a bit later than what we expected, and we were heading back home where we were staying in the darkness of the night. It had rained earlier, and the roads were muddy. And as we traveled up the mountainside, we made a wrong turn, and we got on a path that started kind of down over the side of the mountain again. And as we started heading down through, the road just kept getting slimier and slimier from the rain, and the hill became steeper. And after a while, it just felt like we were on ice. We just about couldn't hold the vehicle back we were in. And to the one side, it just dropped down in the darkness. It looked like it just dropped. I had no clue where it dropped to. And we finally didn't even trust moving anymore. And so we called for help and explained where we're at. And they came out and picked us up. We left the vehicle set because we knew it was where it was off in a side road where probably no one was going to find it during the night. We just left it there. The next morning we came back after a few hours of sunlight, and the path had dried up somewhat. And I walked in there, and it was just beautiful looking down over the valley, over the side of the mountain, and it didn't look anything like I remembered it from the night before. It looked so fearful and so scary the night before, but we turned the vehicle around, and we needed a little help from another vehicle in pulling it, but we got it out, and all worked out well. But the fear and the feelings that I felt the evening before of what was happening, it just felt like all of a sudden everything was out of control. And Lord have mercy, we didn't even for sure know where we were. And the next morning we realized we were right close to some of the church folks right there. It was just not at all like it appeared. Well, that's the Christian life, or that's life, I want to say, not the Christian life. That is life. Without knowing the path and knowing the direction that God gives us in His Word, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting our soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise." In other words, as we study the Word, we find the way, and God can speak into our hearts and into our needs and into our carnality and into our pride and those things, and we work with that and we deal with that. And so I'd like to suggest this morning that the Word of God is one of the ways, or maybe the only way, that we really can grow into holiness and experience a growing experience in this. You see, human nature so often causes us to forget the facts. And we cling to these earthly things, these transient earthly things, the things that we work with on a daily basis, that of making a living, our money, our possessions, our friends, our family, our education, ourselves, those things all have a bearing of who we are and have had their bearing in making us. But you see, setting our heart on anything, putting anything before God, even beneficial things at times, we need to relate to these things and work with them. But we need to view them as tools, as things that we use. When we start setting our hearts on things, then it creates a barrier between us and God. And it actually ends up dividing our hearts, is what it does. Part of us is drawn here, and we want to love God, and yet we love the things that we relate to. God wants our loyalty and our love to be with Him. And when He has that, then He can guide us and He can direct us and He can help us to use the things that He has given to us wisely and in wise ways. And so, again, the path of holiness is made plain by the directives of God's Word, the things that He wrote for us and has there for us to be obedient to. Number four, holiness is a result of keeping ourselves on the straight and narrow way. We go back to Matthew chapter 7, and we have the account. Where Jesus told us that we are to enter, Matthew 7 and verse 13, He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." So Jesus says that most of the people in earth life are actually on the broad way. They haven't found the narrow way. And his words to us is enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way, because that is what leads to holiness. It leads to life. And he says that there's few that are going to find it. I believe this morning that the genuinely righteous person will not try to wander back and forth from the broad road to the narrow road. The only way to build a relationship with God is to have a heart that loves truth and righteousness. The person who tries to serve two masters is a person who is deceived. A person like this is living for Satan and doing wrong while they think they are doing right. And I believe that there's many in our society and many around us who are doing that. Again, the challenge is, are we doing this? Sometimes by the way we live life and by the choices that we make. There is only one way to live eternally with God. This is by striving to walk on His narrow way. Proverbs 16 and verse 17 tells us, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." The righteous walk the way of life, a life of joy, a life of favor with God. When you live right, you can sleep right and you can feel right. You feel good about living right, by choosing right and doing right. Let's look at a little bit of what the scriptures say about what do we find in the Bible about holiness as a way of life. I'd like to just look at a number of scriptures. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, a very familiar verse. Here Here Paul challenges us in Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, I beg with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, see that? It's by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is saying here that God wants a life. First of all, he says a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that we say died, right? But he says that he wants a living sacrifice. In other words, he wants a person who has died and is yet living. A person who is wanting to live for God. A person who is living a holy life, which is acceptable to God. And he reminds us that it's only what we can do in return for what God has done for us, the work of grace in our hearts. God is looking for a response from us. And that is a holy life, is what he's looking for from us. It's our reasonable service, he says. Paul further talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word perfecting there means accomplishing, doing it. We said this morning in the Sunday school class that the blind man needed to do his part. He needed to put action, his faith and what Jesus told him to do, he needed to put into action. Well, that's what Paul is telling us here. He says that we're to cleanse ourselves from all the filth that comes into our lives and accomplish the holiness. And this we do in the fear of God, realizing that we serve a holy God who wants holiness. And then we go on to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 4, and Paul says this, he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, this was God's plan from eternity past. A holy God deserves holiness, and his plan was for holiness in our experience. According as he has chosen us. Again, it's the grace of God. He brought us back before time was. He knew that there would be sin. He knew our carnality. He knew the nature that we would live with. And he said that he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be without blame, having predestinated us unto the children of Jesus Christ by himself, links us back again to the fact that it's the work of God, it's the grace of God within us that makes it happen. And then we come into Revelation, the book of Revelation, and in chapter 22, and I just want to read verse 11 yet, where it says, so this is talking about future and the time when the church is brought out. He says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And so he's saying that holiness as a way of life, as we live holiness as a way of life now, we can have the promise that we will be accepted in the future as holy people. And remember that, yes, back in Hebrews it said that without this we cannot see God. So holiness without, remember that without holiness we will not be able to see God. So holiness as a way of life is important. I want you to think about this. I believe that an expression of true holiness is when we endeavor to put all of Christ in all of life. Someone has made the comment recently, and I've been pondering this very much. The comment went something like this: Jesus in our heart produces a culture, but a culture doesn't necessarily produce Jesus. And I think this morning we could say that holiness in our hearts produces a culture, but a culture doesn't necessarily produce holiness. Think through that, and I've been pondering that statement. It's a true statement, and what all fits into that? When I read God's word and I read about what Jesus told us to do in so many ways, and then I ponder the life that we're living and the way we live life and the decisions that we make, and I sometimes wonder if this way of holiness or this idea of having Jesus in our heart, if the culture that we are living actually fits into the culture that Jesus is promoting. I'll let you think about that this morning. But Jesus told the rich man to go sell all that he has and go give it to the poor. We don't see a lot of that happening in the culture that we live in, do we? We see the opposite of that. There is so many things in the culture that we live in that I sometimes wonder about. And I sometimes wonder if our way, our life, the things that we think are the things of holiness are as much holiness as what we think they are sometimes. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. What is holiness this morning? It's having Jesus in our heart and allowing Jesus to live and work in and through us and show himself through our lives to others. And I'm challenged by that, and I want to leave that challenge with you this morning. Is the culture that you and I are living this morning contributing to true holiness? Is it really evident that Jesus is in the throne of our hearts, in our churches, in our homes, in our families, in our lives personally? Let's kneel for prayer.